life right.
We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast on WMIE FM 91.5. We want to thank you for tuning in today. I don't know about you, but I just feel really, really good today. Feel refreshed. And so I'm ready to get into the word. And let me just shut off my ringer here. And in case you think that everybody has everything all synced and ready to go, evidently I didn't have today. So I want to take you in the word to this morning to Luke, the 8th chapter, Luke chapter 8. And first of all, we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical, who helped bring this radio broadcast to you. If you have any air conditioning or electrical needs anywhere in Brevard County, give them a call and they can help get you back up and running during the summer season here. So their phone number once again is 632-9538, 632-9538. If you would, tell them that you heard about them here on the Refresh radio broadcast, and that would just be a blessing. Also want to invite you out to church this Sunday. 10:30 is going to be our worship service. I'll be preaching Sunday morning and Sunday nights. Would like to encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Plenty of seats available, and we'll see what God has in store for us. So Luke chapter 8 today, verse number 40, we're going to just touch base on this. I believe that this will be an encouragement to some people, and then we'll get back into some of the other things we will be talking about in the days ahead. Luke chapter 8, verse number 40, it says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him." Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living or all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but is sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So Jesus here is on his way back from delivering the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. And that's another story for another time. Great miracle of God that was done. But in verse number 40, it says, so it was when Jesus returned, remember, because they had implored him to go away from them, and they didn't want him in their region. And so Jesus left, and it says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. So today I just want to start by saying, I pray that we would allow our expectations to arise, that right now we are expecting, we've heard of the great things that God has done in the past, but those things that have taken place in the past should manifest themselves in our current situation, where we are waiting expectantly for God to do something. And so that is where we are. We need to find ourselves in a waiting mode, saying, God, we are waiting for you. We are not waiting for doom. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for your presence. We are waiting for your power. We are waiting for the victory that you have. We are waiting for you because we have heard what you've done in other regions, but we know that you're coming to our region now. I pray that here in Brevard County, that there would be an expectation that would begin to arise that say, God, we have heard about your miracles. We have heard about your great exploits that you have done in other regions. But God, we are waiting for those things to be done here and now in our midst. And so that's got to be something. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We need to realize, look, if we're not going to wait for God, then we won't see in our midst the same things that other people have experienced. Right now around the globe, there are tremendous things that are taking place. There's one testimony that I've heard that came from not Christian lips, but from non-Christian lips, that said that in one country where they are extremely hostile to Christianity, that 2 million, 2 million people a year are switching from one faith to Christianity. They are beginning to embrace Christianity. I tell you that you will hear a lot of the negative news. You will hear about the persecution that is taking place amongst Christians in parts of the world. But what I want you to know is that the kingdom of God is increasing in rapid manner. I haven't done the math to break it down to see how many 2 million a year divided by 365 equals, but that is a significant move of God. That hundreds of people a day are giving their heart to Jesus. And what is taking place there can also take place here. God can bring a revival. He was powerful enough to drive out a legion of demons with just a word. He is powerful enough to bring revival to America. And the good news is that Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. That if we can agree on anything, that it will be done for us. So I encourage you today that you expect God to show up in your circumstance and bring a miracle your way. So it says they were all waiting for him. They were waiting for him to get there. And behold, that's what he found. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Guys, I want to ask you, I know we just came through Mother's Day and all of that, but I want to ask of you, can we create an expectation in our situation, in our life, where we say, you know what? I can't just sit by. I may not understand everything. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue, and they were not exactly known to be extremely receptive to Jesus' teachings and his miracles. A lot of times when he'd teach in the synagogue, they would cast him out. One time they took him to the edge of the hill and they were going to throw him off and all of that sort of stuff. Many of the teachers, Nicodemus, who was the teacher of Israel, he didn't understand some of the basic premises that Jesus was saying. And guys, we may not understand. In fact, I will just tell you, I don't understand all of the ways of God. I really don't. I strive to understand. I was having a conversation and with someone about the things that we understand and the things that we don't understand. And let me tell you what I feel about the Word of God. I'm thankful that the concept of the gospel is something that is so simple that a child can grasp it. But I'm also thankful that it is so rich, that it is so deep, that it is so sophisticated, that it's going to take us all of eternity to fully comprehend and grasp just how marvelous, how holy, how powerful and benevolent God is. Listen, I was taught very early in life, and you know, that 1 + 1 = 2. And then, you know, we got into multiplication, and you know, you remember your ones times tables and your two times tables and three, and then we got all the way up to 9. And man, those were just so hard and so challenging to grasp at that time. But we should have mastered those things a long time ago. And we should have moved on to bigger challenges. If those basic elementary things are still so fascinating for us, then that's a problem. In Hebrews, it talks about that we need to move on from the elementary principles of repentance and baptisms and all of that sort of stuff. And we need to mature in our understanding. We need to understand that no matter how long we study this word, there's still going to be things in there that will intrigue us, that will captivate our attention, and that will challenge us in our day-to-day. Listen, today you and I are meant to be a conqueror in Jesus' name. And the only way that we can conquer our problems is, guys, if we will do exactly what Jairus did. Say, I may not understand everything, but I understand this. Jesus changes lives. Jesus does and accomplishes what no one else could accomplish. He just revolutionized a community, and they didn't even want him after he did it because of the economic consequence that had come into their life. But Jesus had just given them a greater blessing. There was a man possessed by demons who was tormenting an entire community. There wasn't anybody that could overpower him. They were just living in fear and torment all the time. And Jesus, when he comes to shore, that man came and run and met him and cast himself and said, what do you want with me? And now Jairus comes and he says, look, what I need, Jesus, I may not understand everything. I don't care that I'm the ruler of the synagogue. What I know is I've got a situation at home that demands the attention of Jesus. Would you come to my house? Guys, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much money you've got in your bank account, you have a situation at home that needs Jesus. I believe that the divorce rate in America could plummet if, guys, we would have the driven mindset that says, I have got to get Jesus. I've got to get the miracle working power of Jesus in my home. I've got a situation at home. I can't just have Jesus in the community. I need Jesus at my house. And guys, we're the priests of our home. We're the ones that God has given us the responsibility of being the head. We need Jesus at my house. My daughter listens to this program, and so she may be a little embarrassed when I tell this story, but I've embarrassed my children before. I'm not saying this to embarrass her. I'm just saying this because of how proud I am of her. My wife and daughter, they both like their quiet time. They don't like people interfering, and so I give them their space of a morning. And so I came out one morning just to say goodbye to her before she left for work, and she was actually praying. She was on her knees praying in the entryway. And you know, I'm a bit of a practical joker, and you know, she said, "What are you doing up?" And I said, "Well, what are you doing down?" And she said, "I'm praying before I go to work." And I already knew what she was doing. But I'm blessed that there's a hunger, not just in me, but in my wife and in my daughters, my son, that the presence of the living God come and not just be something. It's not, listen, being a minister is not just my job, it's my privilege. It's the manner in which I serve the King. But I don't just want Jesus to stay at the church house. I want him in my house. I want the presence of God to manifest in my home, where there are miracles that take place in my home and in my neighborhood. So Jairus comes and he throws himself down at his feet. And the situation that he faced specifically was he had a daughter that was about 12 years old, and she was dying. She was dying. So let me just throw this out to you, and that is this. When is the last time that you took an assessment, looked around at the situations that were going on in your home, and you either analyzed them and said, this is healthy and this is dying. This is healthy, this is dying. This is building us up, this is edifying us, this is tearing us down. I will tell you this, that there are things in our house that there were things that were in our house at one point in time that we no longer have. It is not because anybody told me that we needed to get rid of them. I just realized those were things that were undermining the presence of Jesus in our home, and there were, you know, I wanted them edified. Now there was also some financial things that went along with that. I'll take the mystery off of it. We do not have satellite television, and we do not have cable television in our house. We do have television. I do watch sports. I like to watch the news. There's one or two programs that I like to watch periodically, but it's not often. And then outside of that, you know, my wife watches some Netflix things, you know, series that go way back and all of that sort of stuff. But there was a financial situation that helped mandate that, because you know, every time the government told me that they were going to help me, I just started grabbing for my wallet because I knew it was going to cost money. And so there were things that I couldn't afford. Now there are some people who think that that's a right, an entitlement, and a privilege that everyone should have, that everybody should have cable television in their house. Well, I want you to know that I didn't appreciate all of the things that were on cable television, all of the things that were on satellite, because there were things that were being shown that I didn't want in my house, and so I got them out. I got them out. So they were creating an unhealthy atmosphere. They were creating an atmosphere of sickness, spiritual sickness, and spiritual disease. If you had a situation in your home where it was a chemical or something like that, and it was making the people in your house sick, wouldn't it be wisdom to get rid of that from your house? Now, I don't tell all of our congregation, hey, don't have cable, don't have satellite, and all that. You should be able to hear from the Holy Spirit yourself and act in accordance with Him. You know, not everything on cable television. I happen to like home improvement shows, like, you know, showing them taking an old rundown house and fixing it up. I really like programs like that. But I also like sports. But there are other things that I don't necessarily appreciate. My wife and daughters happen to like the food programs and seeing how fancy and how complicated they can make a meal. But that's their choice. But we made a decision that the other things were creating a situation that were bringing about death and decay instead of life and vibrancy. And so Jairus analyzed the situation and he said, look, I've got a daughter at home and she's dying. I need to go to Jesus. So let me just back up just a little bit and say this to moms and dads. I pray that you and I will be driven into the presence of Jesus and that it will not require a matter of life and death to drive us there. Listen, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your spouse, for the sake of your neighbors, your parents, your relatives, go to Jesus, run to Jesus, say, Jesus, I need you to come into my house. I need your presence in my house for the sake of my kids. There are a lot of temptations out there. There are a lot of things that society would encourage you to do. And I tell you what I did. My wife is not one that's big on photographs. So, you know, I don't really carry around photographs of her. But when my kids were younger, I carried around, they had some of these very, very tiny school photographs. And I put a couple of those in my wallet. And I didn't just stick them down in one of those slots where you couldn't see what was going on. I stuck them down in a part where it had that little clear plastic cover on it so that I could see their face every time I opened up my wallet. And every time I would see them, I would be reminded, hey, I'm here. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to live for Jesus for their sake. And that's what began to take place with Jairus is, you know, even though there may not have been a full understanding, they did understand that Jesus taught like nobody else taught, that he did miracles the way nobody else did miracles. Listen, God is higher than we are. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He gives us peace that surpasses our understanding. The miracles that he did, nobody else had ever done. And he said, for the sake of my daughter, because she's dying, it may seem like it's beneath the dignity of my office to other people, but the desperation of my need is greater than my dignity. Okay, I want to ask you today, is our pride suppressing us from our drive to get into the presence of Jesus? I pray that it's not. I pray that today that you and I would recognize how desperate a need that we have. Maybe you don't have children at home, but I'm telling you, you need the presence of Jesus in your home, whether your kids are still grade school. Maybe you don't even have kids yet. Maybe your kids are grown like my kids are. But I'm telling you, they still need you to be godly parents. I can tell you for a fact that that even though your children may become adults, they still need to see their mom and dad serving and pursuing Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know people who kids are now adults and they are in pain because of the relationship or the lack of the presence of Jesus with their mom and dad. Okay, so I just want to encourage you today. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Be part of that crowd that says, you know what? Jesus, it says that he's omnipresent. He is here. He is able to touch by distance or by proximity. It doesn't matter to him. and I need him. Today, I just want to encourage you to be part of that group that's waiting, and you say, you know what, I can't wait anymore for him to come to me. I have got to go to him. You know, the reality is Jesus has told us to come. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. This is actually not a statement of Jesus, but it was a statement inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you can find help in your time of need. So I do know this. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast has a need of some form or some variety in their life. And today I just want to encourage you. Don't be passive, hoping that Jesus is going to come by your way. Instead, be proactive and say, I am going to go to that situation. I'm going to go to Jesus because he can do what no one else can do. I'm going to just close here at this point in the broadcast, and I'm just going to ask God to give you a miracle in your life. And, you know, we got a couple of minutes here before the end of the program. So let's just spend a little bit of time enjoying the presence of God, shall we? Father, I want to thank you that you are a good God. Lord, in John chapter 4, you said you must needs go through Samaria. You had a need to go through there because there was a woman who had a situation in her life, and God, you desired her to change. You desired to change her world. And God, you positioned yourself. You changed her, and you changed an entire community. God, right now, we men, we women, we are crying out to you. God, we need you. We have heard of your great exploits. We've read about them in your word. We hear of your testimonies and the wonderful things that you do. And God, we're waiting here in Brevard County for you. We are coming right now into your presence because we need you not just to come into our community. We need you to come into our home. Lord, there are situations that are just as dire as what Jairus experienced. There is someone at the point of death. And God, we come to you because we know that you are able to heal. And I pray, God, that you would minister to those situations. But God, right now, we ask you to come into our homes in a miraculous fashion so that you can bring transformation to even, Lord, to those situations where death is not imminent. God, would anything that is there in our homes that is not pleasing and acceptable in your sight, would you speak to us by your Holy Spirit? Would you prompt us and say, you know what, we're going to make room for Jesus, and we're going to get rid of this out of our home because we want the presence of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.